The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" But then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was at St. Christopher's Parish, I took Mondays as my day off, and it was always a chance for me to travel back home to Innocksburg, visit my parents and my family, just kind of check in, see how the family was doing. And when my dad kind of realized that I'd be home on most Mondays, he took full advantage of it and would have a laundry list of chores that he needed help with when I was around. One of my favorite chores to do, though, that I actually enjoyed doing very much, was splitting wood. I don't know why, but there was just something very therapeutic about being out there with an axe and splitting wood in half, you know, just relieved a lot of the anxieties and tensions and dealing with annoying parishioners all the time, and it was a great way to deal with that. So on one of these Mondays, I was out there and I'm splitting wood, you know, and just kind of getting that stress out, you know, and just kind of enjoying myself. And I got done with it, and all I wanted to do was go back into the house, you know, take a shower, clean up, you know, after being all nasty and sweaty out there chopping wood. I'm heading back to the house, and I see this white van pull in my parents' driveway. Now, down in Innocksburg, this little bitty town, everybody knows what everybody else drives. And so usually you can see the vehicle coming, and you know, that's going to be, you know, our neighbor Bob or whoever it may be. I had never seen this van before in my life, so my curiosity was a little piqued. I wondered, who is this going down the drive? So I stood there and waited, and they pulled in, and the side door slid open, and this middle-aged woman steps out of it. I've never seen her before in my life, you know, and here I am, drenched in sweat. You know, all I want to do is go in and take a shower, but, you know, I figured maybe they're lost, maybe they need some help. So, you know, I said, "Hey, is there anything I can do to help you out with? Do you need directions? You know, what can I do to help?" And she came up to me, and she put her hand out, and she said, "Hi, my name's Jessica. I'm a Jehovah's Witness." Oh, joy. So I shook her hand, and I said, "Oh, it's nice to meet you." And she said, "By any chance, you wouldn't happen to be a religious man, would you?" Well, now that you mention it, you know. And so I told her, you know, that I was a Roman Catholic priest, you know, and I was just home visiting my parents. And she got this look on her face, and she goes, "Oh." And she, you tell she was a little startled by that. She didn't really know what to do. So she stuck to her script, you know, and she had these pamphlets in this book, you know, and she handed it to me, you know, and she just wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. She knew she was over her head. And before she left, though, she had one question for me. She said, "Do you know who the king of the world is?" And I kind of rolled my eyes, and I was like, I guarantee this is some trick question, and I'm going to get it wrong, and she's going to make me feel bad. But I'm just going to go with my gut on this one. So I just said, "I believe it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, we have a feast day amongst Catholics, Christ the King. So that's my final answer." And she kind of smiled, and she had this twinkle in her eye, that kind of gotcha look, you know. And she shook her head, and she said, no, you know, it's not Jesus Christ. Satan is the king of the world. And after that, she just went back into her van, and she took off, you know, without another word. And so I was just kind of left there standing there, trying to piece together what she had just said. And at first, my reaction was not good. I was like, well, that's wrong. Satan obviously is not in charge of this world. I mean, we believe God is the one in charge. But the more I thought about it, the more I reflected on it, the more I thought through the scriptures that I know, I began to realize that she was absolutely right. Satan is the king of this world. We hear it all through scriptures. I mean, when Jesus is taken out into the desert, he's being tempted by Satan. The third temptation, he's taken up on this mountainside, and Satan shows him all the kingdoms, all the cities, all the power and wealth of the world. And he says to him, all of this could be yours. All of this is mine to give to whom I will. It's mine to give to whom I will. And it could be yours if only you would bow down and worship me. And then there are times where Jesus tells us it is impossible to serve both God and Mammon, this being that represents the world, this thing against God. And even in today's gospel, we have this individual who is seeking his inheritance. He's seeking money, monetary gain. And Christ gives us this parable of a man who only focuses on material wealth and realizes that that is not of God. That is not something that lines itself up with God, but is instead antagonistic towards God. And in some level, all of us can feel this in our hearts and in our minds. We know somewhere deep down inside that this world doesn't hearken to God. All you have to do is turn on the news and we could see that. With all the violence, all the mischief and the disease and the world's corruption that we see when we turn on the news, we feel it. We look around us and we see this moral decay that is taking place around us. And we say it all the time that this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And so, yes, Satan is the king of this world. But if his is a world that is filled with fear and despair, a world that is filled with worries and anxieties and tramples us underfoot and denies our rights as human beings, then I say let him have it. He can keep his world. Christ gives us a better and a more fulfilling option for us to follow. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Weight of Glory, which is an amazing book, if you ever get the chance to read it, I highly recommend it. And in this book, he says, yes, the world is against God. Yes, we are not called to follow the ways of the world. And those desires that we have for the world, we may tell ourselves, well, if only I can deny myself those desires, if only I can desire less, then I'll finally be in line with God. I will finally be where God wants me to be. But he says, that's not the issue. It's not so much that we desire too much, it's that we're not desiring enough. And he goes through and he highlights that when we were created by our God, we were filled at the very core of our beings with these intense desires for something real and authentic and something deeper and more profound than anything this world can provide us with. Everything that we see in this world is merely a shadow. It is just a fake of the real thing that exists for us. And we know this. We can feel this in our hearts. We long and desire a deep intimacy with others, a deep sense of love and community, and this sense that we belong. And yet, because of the world that surrounds us, we're willing to settle for less. We settle for pornography and for these misguided ways of community and love that just aren't real. We have this great sense and desire for self-possession, self-worth, self-confidence that isn't based on anybody else's opinion of us or their admiration of us, but instead is based on God's gift to us that he created us and loves us. And yet so often we settle for less, just looking at how many likes we get on Facebook, of all things. And how many of us desire this great sense of peace? This peace that seems to elude us. And it's a peace that God guarantees to us if only we would take to him our anxieties and our worries and place them on his altar. If only we would come to him and place our trust in an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. And yet so often we settle for less and base all of our trust in ourselves and on our limited power, our limited knowledge, and our limited love. And so let us desire more. Let us go out into the world and desire all that God wanted us to have. And if we can do so, we'll finally find that sense of peace, that sense of love that we want. There's a poem that exists that I think highlights this for us. And it goes like this. Oh, let me pine for wholesome things, that I may not fall prey to gilded joys, to magic rings, to where sweet sirens lay. My heart, it longs, belongs to more. Why settle I for less? God sets a stirring at my core to strive, to seek, to bless, to live out Christmas morn each day, to sing with grateful heart, to hear the newborn laugh at play, to know my ordained part. And if my part is clear to me, and God makes clear the way, then I myself shall wholesome be, content in peace to stay.